Welcome in, everyone, to this week's Five Aside. A little bit early, but it is part two of the Women's Football Forum. My name is Glenn Pizon, and joining tonight, once again, it is a woman who reminded me on Saturday that she just has incredible amounts of stamina and energy for a mother. My Lord, it is Kristen Clark. I don't know how you do it. I was really happy that your daughter was able to attend. And yes. She wore me out in 20 minutes. I don't know how you do this 24/7. I'm impressed.
Well, something that it was kind of a last moment. It was kind of a last minute decision. It was a last minute decision. I had been thinking about it for quite a long time. And I got to say, our last episode that we had, which was last Wednesday, so obviously 4 days prior to the She Believes Day, because that's what I'm calling it, She Believes Day. Yes.
It should be a national holiday.
It should be. And it kind of was. It was for our house. I'm like, I took off work, you know, like yep. I plan, you know, like, you know, I brought sunglasses and sunscreen. There were things that were planned. But it was something that I had thought about for a while, but hadn't really made the decision. And then a lot of the things that we talked about last Wednesday before coming and how important it was to all of us and to everyone else out there. And then speaking to my wife kind of the literally 24 hours before, I said, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, bringing Sparrow, and she was like, oh no, you should. It was like an instant snap decision for my wife. She goes, oh no, you should. You absolutely should. This is like a huge moment. This is something that, like Glenn mentioned a few different times, this is something a kid like Sparrow could look back on and say, remember that? Remember when that happened? I was there. I did that. And for her to not have that, I feel like we could be missing it. So it could be a core memory for anyone who's seen Inside Out. And so it was quite easy for me to then make the choice. Okay, sure. She's five. You know, she's a big five, I might add, by the way. Yes. She's gigantic for five. She does have a little bit. She had a little bit going with allergies, and she has a little bit going with her special needs with her inhalers and stuff. So I was a little bit wary having not done a big day like this before. But when I having brought her and she stayed, she hung the entire time, y'all. She was there from the very beginning to the very last moment when Canada walked it off, so to speak. And she did great. She had such a great time. She was really engaged, especially for the U.S. match. She knew. She was like, that's our team. That's our team right there. That's our team in white. I was like, yes, honey. Yes, that's us. And she's like, we scored. Look. And she kept pointing to the scoreboard. Look, mommy, 2-1. 2-1. I was like, yeah, I know. We're winning. How about that? So best decision. And a shout out to both Glenn and Jennifer helping me scramble in the last, you know, 12 hours before the match to try and find a pair of tickets that were going to work perfectly. And shout out to the, if they're listening, to the two guys who were able to come through for me on that. It was the right thing. We had a great time, and I really hope it sticks with her.
So. Spoiler alert. Jennifer is here. A woman who's never met a volunteer opportunity.
She didn't like.
No, never met a volunteer opportunity she said no to. She does everything, y'all. She's everywhere. National club and country. This woman's calendar is stacked. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, yo.
Also returning, a woman who just has the worst luck imaginable lately. Just can't catch a break, Angel.
Hold on. Wait a second. I have my own pun.
Okay, go.
Ooh. A rival
thinking
punter.
About this. Wow.
Let's have it.
The one that missed Marta because of Marta.
Oh. Sad.
Well, can I hazard to say that, and I even hate to say this, as excited as I was, you didn't miss a whole lot. She didn't get very many touches, and the one touch that she did get wasn't so
it
great.
Was saved.
Yeah,
it was pretty incredible.
I saw that after.
It was still incredible to see it.
And we joked. We joked in the in between the games, I was like, watch, Marta won't start. They'll put her on at halftime because I knew I had to leave at halftime. For those of you that know, I had a flat tire on the way to the party Friday night, and
that's right.
Had to have my car towed, and the place closed at 6, so I had to leave at halftime to go get my car.
Who else is here? Oh, another woman who's back as well. A woman, maybe her vision isn't the best, but she doesn't miss a fucking thing.
Not
oh my lord.
Thing.
It's Shannon Celeste is back. Your knowledge and insight into the women's game, like, is so astounding and impressive. Like, nothing gets by you. How are you able to just retain all of this information? It's really impressive.
My brain works different. I don't know.
That's a good enough explanation as ever I've heard one.
Whatever CPU you're operating on, different. I would like an upgrade. That's incredible that your brain works the way it does. I also appreciate that Shannon has brought a cat to go with our other cat for this podcast.
It's an extra cat.
Very super villain, cat evil lair type thing going on here. But we are here to review this incredible past weekend with She Believes, with Japan and USA and Brazil and Canada, and also expand upon the growth of the women's game, what's going on domestically, primarily a little international, what's going on with NWSL, so on and so forth. And I'm going to kick it over here to Miss Glitter Queen, Miss Jennifer here, and get us going with, you want to start with just how
Glitter Bay.
how we felt about She Believes?
I mean, wow. So first of all, y'all, way to go, Atlanta. Way to show out. Way to do what we do.
We did the record.
Break attendance records. Yeah, it was really, really impressive. And the first thing I want to do is throw a mad shout out to, all the lovely folks over American Outlaws, the Atlanta chapter, because, you know, it's a lot of work to put on a show like that. Right. And you don't always get the help that you need or expect from people. And like, they stepped up, they put on a great party. Everybody had a ball at the night before, everybody had a ball at the tailgate. You know, the in-game ambiance is something that the players and the staff of US soccer all commented on. And y'all know we can do better than that. Come Copa America, come the next time we get the women's team in town. And I don't think it will be very far off in the future. It was a very, very impressive first outing. Welcome back. Welcome to, you know, the best football town in the country. So snaps to all y'all, because all y'all made that happen. For real. And, no, it was so cool to be, for me, just to having done this at the World Cup. Right. And look, this is not a, you know, Australia, New Zealand put on a phenomenal World Cup. It was wonderful. Everything was really well run. Everybody felt safe. The quality of the footy was excellent. Like, you know, so knowing that, you know, hey, as an ATLian here, I want my city to step up. I want my city to like show off. And like, you know, not only was it like, you know, it wasn't a casual crowd. Like, these people, everybody in those, all those butts in seats knew what they were watching. That, and I think, and that's what I've also seen a lot of like the post-match press commentary about. And my favorite moment of the whole experience yesterday was when, after the US won and they're doing the little player walk around, and I don't know who it was, but Emily Sonnet, who's from Atlanta, was walking around and somebody was walking next to her and we were all yelling ATL ho. Everybody was screaming and cheering really, really loud for Emily. And this one, and the other player was walking with her, made her turn around and look and said, look at this, look at where you are. They know, and they're here for you.
That's right.
And I almost wanted to cry. Like
I thought she's from Marietta.
And that's usually my game,
which is where I grew up.
Crying is usually me.
Yeah, so. Emily Sonnet and I went to rival high schools, and we're not that far apart in age that it's possible, had we both played in high school at the same time, that I would have played opposite her. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, talk about there were no spectators. There were casual
this
observers
not,
there yesterday.
Yeah, this was not a
that
casual
was, it was a
crowd.
Stadium,
it was a stadium crowd.
Full of supporters. Yeah, it was a good crowd. Absolutely. And I didn't really think that we weren't going to beat it. I was just like, there's no way. There's no way that Atlanta has put up some of the numbers that we put up that we weren't going to beat it. I didn't know what it was going to come down to, but when they threw that up, I knew we had it.
Would you like to go around the room and just thoughts on the match itself? Anything that stood out? Shannon, you want to go and start
match
with just what you saw, since you've got the best brain amongst all of us?
It's just different. It's just
it's
different.
Analytical.
Fair enough. Different. It's better.
She's like, I'm built different. I just built different.
She's built different, y'all. I promise. What'd you think? Quality of play? Anything that stood out to you? Individual performance? Team performance?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the U.S. is like, they, you know, when we're talking, they've gone, we were saying, like, I guess I was saying last time that there's been like a rise of like these other countries and like, yada yada, but there's some truth to the fact that like on the field has been a little flat lately, and this was dynamic, right? There were players switching position, there was a lot of fluidity in this match. It was just top-notch, excellent. It was amazing to see Mal Swanson back, you know, and that, you know, her pushing up on the wing, it took Jaden Shaw's spot. Jaden Shaw dropped back to the 10 and just had an absolute banger of a goal.
Yo, Jaden Shaw. Shaw is on fire. Your defense is terrified. 7 goals in 11 games, 11 caps. Are you serious? Come on.
Was she your woman of the match? Was Jaden your woman of the match?
Yeah, absolutely. Has to be.
Yeah, same.
Who was your? Okay, so we have this new thing that we're doing.
She had the most impact.
We have this new thing that we're doing on Five Takes with our low key man, like low key person of the match. Who was your low key person of the match? Like, this is the person who like made the engine go, but wouldn't necessarily show up on the stat sheet, or you know, but we wouldn't have won without them. No, Shannon first.
Oh gosh, like on the spot here.
On the spot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I have one.
There's no wrong answers here.
Okay,
who's
yours, Kat?
Lindsay Horan from the spot. There we go.
Okay, Lindsay Horan. Right. Excellent. No, that's fine. That's a good one. That's always a good one. You're never going to go wrong with that. Nope. Mine, low-key, Crystal Dunn.
Hell yeah.
So same. Happy. Same. Oh, I love a good defender going out there and just bossing that fucking front line from Japan. And if it weren't, I mean, because she wasn't even in, to be fair, Crystal Dunn was not in the first 30 seconds of the game. No. But I just think that she's not going to let that happen. And she's always, anytime a defender goes in there and just absolutely just boom.
She kept us from having really bad acid penalty shot flashbacks too. She made that like ridiculous tackle to get, I don't know who it was for Japan, but like they had a really good opportunity very late in the game that would have tied it and possibly sent it off to penalties. And
I think that's the one tackle. I think we're probably thinking of the same one without me actually like pulling up the highlight.
Yeah.
I think we're thinking of the same tackle. And that's what I had in my mind when you asked who was your low key. And I was like, that's it for me.
Real quick on Japan, and gut check me if I'm wrong, correct me. This was not Japan, right? Like sloppy, not their technical game. They usually bring a little bit more physical than maybe we've seen in the past. Angel, you're kind of shaking your head a little bit. Am I way off base? It just felt like that wasn't the best we've seen from Japan. No, I'm not trying to downplay what the U.S. women did. They were dynamic, all that stuff, but it didn't feel like Japan was really anywhere near their best either.
I think they got that first goal.
It's the curse of the early goal.
You know what I mean? And then, you know, they spent the rest of the time just sort of trying to defend it. Yeah. I felt like there were times in that game and I kept turning around. It felt like the U.S. had lots of chances they got very close to goal. I felt like I was joking with people. I was like, is there a freaking force field around our goal? Because this ball wants to go every place but in the net. And I know, Jennifer, didn't you guys start singing? Somebody in the supporter section started singing, the mental chant, you know.
Oh yeah, that was me and Julia. Yeah,
right, because like it was just like they would get so close. It was a scramble, and then it would hit the pole, it would hit the crossbar, or it would go wide or something. I was like, what is happening? I mean, we could have probably scored 4 goals, but you know, it was just Japan was just there defending.
Japan's
it and
goalie
it
was very
way.
Good too. Japan's goalie stood super tall. Like she was very good. I think that's a really good point too. Like, you know, Japan was shocked by that first goal. They didn't know what to do
with it. Like in the first
both
minute.
Both sides were surprised, even though I think US kind of did know what to do. Like it was a pretty good response from USA immediately.
Absolutely.
took a while to get the goal, but I was happy with the response.
I think that's why people didn't flip out, or people didn't get to where, you know, usually when someone gets the first goal of that soon, you know, your stomach drops a little bit. But I had confidence, and I think most people had confidence that, okay, shake the nerves off, let's go, you know, and then get at least a draw out of it.
I said the same thing. I was like, well, at least we have 89 more minutes to find a way back. And everybody around me was laughing, but at the same time we were all going, what the fuck?
Would have been worse if it were in this 80th minute or something.
Yes, if it had been nil-nil the whole time, and then we get a shocker like that, a ball over the top like that, where we were just going, where everybody was just, it's not that they had switched off, they hadn't even switched back on, it hadn't even switched on yet. It was 30 seconds, you know, into the game. So yeah, we, at least there was that. And then they immediately turned it on.
But I think as far as it changing Japan's normal game plan, I think you're right, it did. Like that, you know, all of a sudden, okay, well, no, we've got this lead. We've got to switch into defensive mode instead of growing into the game, building out tactically and going from there. So, no, I think you're right. We probably didn't
see the best.
So
it messed them up a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know that we saw the best that Japan was going to be able to put out there. But, man, do I love the class in those ladies. Can we just, like, they, you know, they all stood, they lined up, they bowed in respect at the end of the match to both sides.
All four sides, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, again, just really classy way to handle things. Like, it was just, and again, the beautiful game is beautiful for a reason. And it's, you know, the way that the women carry themselves and all of these things, I think these teams, all of them know, like, they are, as been being part of a tournament like this, which, you know, we talked about She Believes Summit and everything like that. They're carrying a torch here. They're here to inspire young people to go out and achieve their dreams and be better. And that is evidenced by nothing else to me other than the extensively long lines in the ladies' bathroom.
We actually we were walking around, we commented on that, wow, the lines usually aren't this long. I'm like, well, there's a lot more women here today.
And that was super dope to see all
the women, all the kids. I promise you 10 years from now someone's gonna give an interview. Yeah, I was there. And they're gonna show up whoever ESPN is broadcasting, they're gonna put up the side-by-side picture of someone that's now playing professional soccer, and they took a photo at the Benz. Like, that's going to happen.
I posted this after the fact too, and it was like, there's just the whole thing from the beginning, like even from the fan fest, and this does come a lot, I think, with women's sports too. Hmm. But the whole vibe was, I guess Crystal Dunn said something about Atlanta's kind of a vibe, you know? Hmm. But it was the whole vibe of the day. I could not stop smiling at the end of it, right? It was just like, it was so great to be able to see women's sports be celebrated in our home.
Hell yeah.
At such a large level, and have men, women, kids, grandparents, all races, all everything within the room. So it was incredible.
It felt like a national team match. It felt like it was a match for everybody, and everybody wanted to be there.
And I think it really also gave us a little bit of taste of what we're going to feel when the World Cup comes, you know.
Exactly. I almost said it felt like a World Cup match, but not quite.
I also, you know, there were some great kits walking around the stadium, right? Mm. I just got to drop some love on the anime-inspired kits that Japan has put out I saw a few of walking around. Man, so, okay, Shannon, what was the best kit you saw? What was the best kit you saw walking around yesterday?
Has to be the Arsenal kit I was wearing. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Wow.
Scooters.
Wow. All right. Angel, best kit you saw.
There's a lot of different ones. I love Martha had on the really awesome Japan jersey, the pink and green one that I adore, that you couldn't get here.
Of course, Martha has the one that you could only get overseas.
Actually, it had to be delivered to the UK, and my family got it for and sent it over.
Wow. Okay. Very cool.
It's a beautiful kit. She's just posted pictures of it. It's really pretty.
All right, Kat, what was your favorite Kit Kat?
Glenn and I were outside during in between the two games and trying to give my daughter literally some space to run. She's like, you know, you got to let out the Greyhound to stretch your legs. And we saw somebody that was completely decked out in San Diego Wave attire. Like she had the kit. And then
that was mine too.
Oh, I know. It's so pretty. And then she had these awesome pastel tricolor or tie-dye leggings, and she had a scarf, and then she had a bandana, and it was all that, you know, crazy pastel colors that they've got. It was really impressive. She was definitely wanting and feeling the rep for that one. And then I also saw somebody walk, you know, I saw a lot of NWSL kits, you know, like I saw North Carolina Courage, and I saw obviously some Thorns, you know, jerseys. I like
lots of Angel City,
yeah. So I was wondering about that too. I was like, do you think, and I didn't even consider this, do you think people, or maybe even a considerable amount of people, do you think people traveled here to see?
They did.
This? They do you know about that? Excellent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You guys know people traveled here?
There was a person that had a sign with a dragon. Uh-huh. They had drawn it, beautiful.
Yeah.
And they came down from Brooklyn.
Ah, sweet. Yes, that's awesome. Shanna, did you see any people? Did you think people came?
Yeah, absolutely. There were met some people at the Fido at the night before party that were from out of town.
Nice.
Had some people assume that I was from out of town because I was wearing my Portland kit that night.
Well, that says a lot too, that it was important enough for people to physically travel to this city to come here. Because I mean, if you had a choice between, you know, going to the final in Columbus or coming here, I would, and seeing, you know, two games, I think this would be the more popular destination personally.
So I stayed at Reverb just to make things easier. Thank you, Fran. Thank you, Kim. So we stayed at Reverb for the night. The hotel was full, and I mean full. Everybody in the bar in the morning was eating breakfast, wearing all the U.S. Women's National Team gear, and none of them were from here. None of them. And that's one thing that I think is really cool about having the national team coming through here, and not only that, the women's national team coming through here, because I don't know how much any of you guys realize, like, the popularity of going on the road for women's sporting events is. Like, it was huge. Like, I was meeting people in Australia and New Zealand from all over the US. And yeah, that's a World Cup. But there was a very substantial out of town contingent that was here for this match, that made arrangements to be here. I think that's really cool. And I think you see, because there are less, you know, women's, you know, tier one professional teams, and people, there is so much demand for, you know, top tier women's sports soccer consumption, whether it's on TV or whether it's in person, people are much more willing to spend money and travel to see their teams. Right.
Right.
Like, so yeah.
And I definitely saw, and now I saw a lot of Brazil supporters. I'm wondering, I don't think they traveled from Brazil. That's not what I'm implying. But I do think that because there is such a huge Latin and Latinx community in this state, that was a huge thing for anybody that's been a supporter of Brazil, men or women. So there was a huge, obviously you looked around, you saw a lot of yellow and green.
A lot of yellow in the stadium yesterday.
But I think, especially in the section where Shannon and I had our seats, there was a lot of Canadian supporters.
Really?
And there were enough that it's really funny, because when they came down to the shootout, the Canadian, whoever was kicking would step up. I heard boos, and that was really disappointing. I was like, why? No, come on. You know, don't boo. I don't care who you are. I don't like booing unless you're booing for a very specific reason. But just
wait. You say you don't like booing. Did you boo when Corbin Albert was subbed on?
Now, what did I just say? Unless it's for a very specific reason.
Real quick.
I don't like booing. I don't like booing because I don't like it if it's just simply because it's the other team.
Real quick on Corbin before we move on to talking about Canada and Brazil. I think it was a good thing she came on. And I think it was a good thing that she heard the booze. I think she needs to know that, you know, you're accountable, and it's some things are bigger than football.
I think Shannon might have something to say about that, Shannon.
Yeah, sure. Thoughts on that. Please.
I boot her too. But I mean, I think, you know, when all the controversy happened, right, there's a choice. Do we keep her or we not keep her on the team? I guess once you call her up, like, hey, she's there, like, play the game, maybe I could see that argument. But at the same time, like, I don't think this is something you want to keep around your team, right? She was the part that really like stuck with me about the whole Corbin Albert situation was when she liked the post about Megan Rapinoe getting hurt in that final game. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's just mean spirited, right?
Yeah. That doesn't show support for your team.
That's not Jesus.
Show support for your team. That doesn't, you know, because I would think theoretically they were, I mean, whether they played at the exact same time or not, they were part of the same team. And it's just mean-spirited. Like, don't even have, I wouldn't have that. Shannon and I were talking about this during the match. It was like, I wouldn't have that feeling about anyone, even if they were my opponent. I mean, unless you have done something directly to me and I have a reason to dislike you personally, I am never going to wish a career-ending injury or any kind of traumatic issue or traumatic injury to you just simply because you're my opponent. You know, like I've always said, if you're going to be deemed to be the best, you have to beat the best. And I would never wish an injury or in her case, like a post about the injury on someone else. It's just like Glenn said, it's toxic and it's just going to spread. I think Shannon's right. I'm surprised.
She will be removed.
I don't know how she
ask. I was going to ask Shannon, do you think because Twyla is just an assistant and she's not really necessarily making all the roster calls, do you think when Emma gets here in a month or two, come, you know, looking ahead to the Olympics, you know, is Corbin still on the roster in July? It's an 18-man roster.
I mean, the Olympics is such a small roster. Like, I don't think there's any chance there because she was on the margins of the team to begin with. You know, and I think she only came into the game because Sam Coffey had a potential head injury anyway.
Okay. So, I was going to ask, do you think they called, it's the game, you know, how it works and all that. But do you think that they called her on at the same time as they called Crystal Dunn to sort of squash that potential?
I hope they weren't thinking about it, to be honest. Like, I hope, because if they were thinking about it, I hope they would have just left her off the team entirely. And not,
I mean, because everybody knows nobody's going to boo the Queen, right? Crystal, right? And they should not.
Yeah.
But I hope. Yeah. I mean, you can't really call the game, you know, there was gameplay, right? But when they came on at the same time, I was like, I wonder if there was any strategy there.
I'm hoping that, like, what happened is, like, they called her into camp. Hey, you're in the camp. Let's play through this, right? And then it was just about the soccer. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see. Because the team has built a strong culture of inclusivity, and this isn't a part of that, right? The things that she's done on the social.
It's as Lindsay and Alex came out and basically said that, right?
Yeah, it's as outside of it as you can get without directly. She might as well directly have, like Carly Lloyd did. She might as well have just said, "I don't agree with what Rapinoe's doing. Get up and dribble." She might have just as well as said that. Except she said it about a community that is a huge part of this team and its culture.
If she's going to have any pathway back in, I do think she needed to hear it from the fans, and she did, and I'm glad she did.
Well, and
for those people that
too.
Said that there was no booing, because I've seen that on Twitter, there was a lot.
Oh no,
booing.
There was definitely
no. She heard
booze.
It. She heard it, and she needed to hear it. I don't know if she can change. I don't know. I mean, the things that she's liking and expressing doesn't seem like a whoopsie type thing to me. No. It seems like more of a character flaw, and people change.
Character flaws can
be improved, but this seems pretty big, and I would be pretty shocked if.
I do want to throw it out there that she's 19 years old. Okay. Uh-huh. And yep. maybe she, I don't remember where that. She comes from, but you know, we all don't have the benefit of access and exposure to equitable things growing up.
You know,
we all come from different backgrounds, right? And I can think of a certain Atlanta United player that a lot of people said similar things about, who has not put a foot wrong in that regard, who mm-hmm. apologized for their mistakes. And I think very, very few people would question, you know, why that person is still on the team at this point.
All right.
So that's all I'm going to say. And I'm not saying right or wrong, because I booed her too.
I got
and,
you.
And yeah, I don't and know, you know, like,
and I did boo her. That was my difference, is that I would never boo. I would never boo someone simply because they were my opponent, which is what a lot of the Brazilian fans, whether they were American or not, were booing the Canada players when they stepped up to take their kick. Now, I know maybe that's a little gamesmanship, but I still didn't. I don't like it. I don't like booing generally just because you're an opponent.
Heard.
But I did boo Corbin Albert. And that was my distinction of the two differences there.
I got you.
You know,
so
it's not gamesmanship for me. Anything else with Brazil or Canada that anybody wants to bring up on the just on the play? And I mean, Canada, they look good in transition, but start the match and then they totally dropped off. I think they were pretty lucky to get to where they got to.
Yeah.
Brazil was the better team for me, but
both games are really exciting and fun to watch. I loved it.
So what do you guys think about the final US, the rematch of USA versus Canada on a not, you know, once in 100-year flooded pitch?
Bring it on.
Because
I'm
that
happy
was
to
a
play
really
Canada.
Good match considering the conditions.
Yeah.
And it really required Alyssa to like stand on her head. Do you think we're going to get like round two of that, or are we going to get something a little bit more open US forward? Do you think Canada can hang with the US in this current version of them?
I think if we play the way we played and Canada plays the way they played, we mm-hmm. win handily.
Well,
handily.
We'll see.
I think 3-1 maybe, you know, but it's always interesting when you play the neighbors to the north. It's never a gimme. They made it to where they did because of that. And their header that brought them back into the game, forgive me if I don't remember who scored it, was excellent. It was a well-taken header off of a corner. So, you know, you never know. Certain, you know, you switch off. Brazil, like Glenn said, Brazil was playing, was the better team for most of their match. But you switch off for a second and you allow a team that has... but does have the skill and the capability like Canada does. You let them back in the game and they're going to get you. So the US will have to be on top of their game. But I think if we play the way we did and Canada doesn't switch on like they didn't for most of their match, I think that it's going to be, it could go in US's favor pretty easily.
I'll tell you too. I was really impressed with like the get up and go that Brazil had. Brazil is going to be a fun team to watch for the next next cycle.
They always are.
A lot of up tempo. That Priscilla gal. Oh man, she's got a motor on her. And there was another like with the two words. They all have one. You know, the first name thing. So like I'm getting a little bit confused because the one girl who I noticed was she had the two names. It was like Ada something or other. But like
which is unique for Brazilian players. Usually they're just one name.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm still contemplating a spelling change of my name to Jennifer with a J-H-N-I and a double F. Like, I think that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, they really, really fun side to watch. And also, you know, a lot of those women play in the NWSL here. There's a lot of Brazilian talent right now in the NWSL. So like, it's nice to see them all, you know, come together. And I love that both Marta and Christiane stayed with the national team. It was completely unexpected that both of them were here. And even though it wasn't like Martha's greatest hour, let's all be real. And even though she wasn't wearing the signature red lipstick, I think it bodes really well for the national program in Brazil to have leadership and insight and guidance from women who blazed the trail. Like women who literally like went out into the jungle and hacked it down with a machete. Because I was listening to commentary from one of the women on TNT, I can't remember her name, but like an interview that she did, and she was talking about how like during the World Cup, she couldn't believe Marta was still playing because she had retired 7 years prior. And she was all like, I don't understand how you're still out there. You're not that much younger than me. Like, how are you still managing to do it? So I think like it was really cool to like at least be in the same building as them. And it's, I think, pretty awesome that, you know, we still have opportunities to go out and see them play. Hmm. So with all that said, so now that, you know, we don't have a national team match scheduled for the foreseeable future, what are y'all thinking about, like, the next way to like dive into more women's sports, you know, in terms of soccer in this, you know, in this town? Or, you know, are you going to want to travel to see NWSL matches? You know, like, what are you guys excited about in terms of the future for women's footy in this town? If you're going to put this in terms of like equation. So like on the men's side, you have MLS, which is, you know, tier one, division one, right? And then you have USL Championship, that's division two. And then you have division three.
League one and league two.
And then you've also got MLS NISA. Next Pro and NISA. You've got some other, like, some of this is semi-pro, some of it's developmental. So the women's side is slowly, I mean, more rapidly recently, developing out a similar tiered system. And we're a little bit ahead of the curve versus the rest of the world in having that. There are three tiers of professional women's sports. You've got Division One, which now has, as of this fall, we'll have two different leagues. We talked about the USL Super League and the Roswell City bid for that. And obviously the NWSL, which has 14 clubs right now. The USL Super League will launch with 8. So right now you've got, somebody masked me here.
And that, how many is that? NWSL will be launching, announcing the launch of another franchise very soon, coming up.
Gotcha.
Boston.
We'll see where that will be. Boston. Yeah, most likely. Or has it already been announced that it is Boston? Because if it's already been announced, I think there is another one coming.
They're going to go to 16. And the 15th mm-hmm. is probably Boston, like 99%.
Okay, so we still have opportunity for a 16th. Okay. That's a healthy league.
Yeah.
16 teams, that's a healthy league. That's really good. Yep.
Shannon, do you think, like, so out of curiosity, why do you have both an NWSL and a USL Super League? Like, why not just take those 8 teams and put them into the NWSL?
Well, so financially, I mean, the NWSL has like just gotten a huge amount of investment with the TV deal. It's like a $240 million TV deal. It's a little different than the MLS deal, which is like Apple TV. It's kind of this closed thing. It's on 4 different mm-hmm. networks. And so there's a lot of opportunity for people to see it. And then it's even NWSL Plus for the games that weren't picked up by like CBS or Amazon or ION or ESPN, NWSL Plus picks them all up. And it's just like the production, et cetera, expansion fees are crazy. Like the Wave is valued at $130 million. So it's like, it's tier, USL Super League's tier one, but it's not the same level of investment in it. I'd be interested to see how it comes together though, because I think they're trying to attract from the same talent pool for USL Super League. They're trying to get in the same stadiums. Like FIFA has requirements in terms of the different tiers. And so they applied for tier one. They're going to play on the European calendar. So fall to spring instead of spring to fall. And, you know, there's where my hopes had gone down for Atlanta's team is the NWSL in 2022 after the Dobbs decision said that they weren't going to, or they were not that they weren't going to, but they were going to consider reproductive rights as part of the expansion process. And Georgia doesn't have really good access to reproductive health care. And it's not great if your players can just get traded to places where they don't have, you know, bodily autonomy. So USL sees an opportunity to fill in and actually place women's professional teams in those places where NWSL is to maybe we won't go there. So
yeah, that's,
there's a little bit of that going on as well.
Yeah. It's the lack of medical care is the female specific, or, you know, it's medical care, but the lack of that kind of care
gender non-specific, whatever it is lacking, is severely lacking, and has been for a while in, you know, simple things like maternity leave, you know, or childcare, you know, like how are, you know, how do the female players travel with kids? Because I'm sure it happens. I know that if that were me, if I were a professional athlete, my wife and kids would probably come with me. It has to be thought about. Just because men don't do it a lot of times, it has to be thought about. I'm sure if the men have medically specific, you know, have needs that are specific to them, so do the women, and it has to be considered. So I hope that somebody leads that charge, and if it means it has to happen over the seas first to then have it be brought here, then yeah, I mean. Yeah, Georgia sucks when it comes to maternity. When it comes, there is no state-sponsored maternity leave here. You are better off taking all they have. You know what they told me? Disability. You can apply for disability. I'm like, being pregnant is not a disability, okay? Like, you're better off quitting the job that you have or getting fired and collecting unemployment. You'd make more money than you would with state-sponsored disability leave. It's an absolute joke. So yeah, it's something that has to be thought about. Exactly, Shannon.
On the topic though, like shout out to like Alex Morgan, Crystal Dunn. I'm sure there's others, but these are two like big examples of women who have been in the midst of a playing career and chosen to start a family and come back strong and been playing at the top of their game when they come back.
I was just gonna mention that. Like I can't imagine being a mom myself, like what that life must be like to be, you know, having to training camp, and then, you know, the amount of travel, right? And not just for, you know, the one job, but it's also travel for the national team too. So it's like everybody else gets to go home to their kids and chill out for 10 days. And these ladies got to go leave again and, you know, figure out what to do with their families. Like, you know, it is an interesting discussion around like growing the women's game and growing visibility for the women's game, because these are things that, like, you know, we're not gonna, you know, we shouldn't be asking, you know, our athletes to give up family time just to entertain us, right? Like in so many different ways. Like it's a little bit different because it's not something that we ask of male athletes to do. And, you know, it's interesting to, you know, figure out, like, you know, men who stay home with their kids, like I can't remember. There's somebody, maybe it's a broadcaster, but like there was one athlete who, like, you know, look, Mal Swanson. She's a really good example of somebody who moved NWSL teams to be closer to her husband. Right. Like, you know, she was not, you know, she asked for a trade to the Red Stars so she could play with Dansby or be in the same, or Dansby asked for a trade up to Chicago. I'm sorry, I just completely reversed that.
That's okay.
No,
that's okay, because that's right. Because that is what happened.
Yeah.
That was part of Dansby's contract was up at the end of last season, and a lot of people wondered.
We're talking about Dansby Swanson from the Braves, if y'all don't know.
Dansby Swanson of the Atlanta Braves. His contract was up at the end of last season, and he was offered a fairly significant renewal contract, and he opted to see if the Cubs were willing to trade and give him a similar contract so that he could be closer to Mallory's team, and they were willing to accommodate that. And it's just, that's a huge, I mean, because we can all remember when Darlington Nagby, you know, wanted to go back up to Columbus for personal reasons, i.e. be near his family and for his coach. We all may have hated to see him go, but it's a very respectable reason to want to do something like that. So
it's just much more rare, I think, to see a man.
Oh, of course.
A male athlete making that decision on behalf of his wife as opposed to vice versa.
Yeah, it shows a huge, I don't want to say it's woke, but it's very like,
it just makes him that much cuter.
And he's from here, isn't he? I think Dansby's from here. So for him to leave his hometown team and everything was going pretty great to go up. I mean, that's huge. So
moving down the tier a little bit, this is where you start to get a little bit more Georgia involvement. Division three, there's a plan for another pro league, but right now you have, a higher tier division of the WPSL. That's the Women's Premier Soccer League. The Women's Premier Soccer League is actually the largest, the largest women's soccer league in the world. And it is the longest active women's soccer league in the U.S. currently. They started in 1998. And right now, as a whole, they have a membership of 130 teams. And they average growth of about 15.7%. So, you know, they're pulling in
They're active in 31 states.
Yeah, exactly. So they're pulling in 3 to 4 new clubs every year. Now, what they have been able to do this year with the addition of Georgia Impact out of Cherokee County, out of Cherokee Canton area, is now get Division III sanctioning by U.S. Soccer Federation. So as of next season, they intend to play a WPSL pro side. Because they're intending to add 2 more clubs to all of that for a total of 10 clubs playing in that specific league. So, you know, what they try to do is offer different avenues and developmental opportunities. And they do run a separate U21 league. So a lot of the players that you're going to see, if you go out to check out one of the WPSL matches, which you're going to be able to do because there's a whole conference of WPSL teams that play in and around Georgia and the Southeast. So those teams are semi-pro. So like this would be, if you're talking about the men's side, right? This would be like your equivalent to, you know, like NISA, because you've got a lot of kids that are either out of college, they're in college, and they're, you know, they're using this time while they're not in a college season to play, or, you know, they've played club their whole life and they play a lot of league soccer. So this would be, you know, like a step up from like, you know, the league soccer on a more professional structured level. So this new Southeastern Conference that they formed has, let me see here, 4 different teams from Georgia, including Atlanta Fire United and the UFA Gunners, who both play out of the Forsyth Cumming area. And then you've got the Georgia Impact that's going to go pro next year. But they right now will play in this, in the semi-pro amateur league. And finally, the brand new Decatur FC, which is going to be in the metro area. And a lot of us are really excited about that, because we're going to have a women's team to, cheer for that's on a MARTA line.
Hell yes.
And they're playing at Decatur High School. Is that where they're playing?
Yes, they're going to play at Decatur High School. Yeah, right there on MARTA, and they're going to have, I think I read 5 home matches, and then they will play against, it's not just these 4 Georgia teams, but there's also, there's 3 teams out of, there's 2 teams in and around Nashville, there's another team in Chattanooga, and like 2 more in Alabama, 1 or 2 more in Alabama. So again, broad reach, broad appeal, and it's got to start somewhere. Right? You can't get up to the quality of play. And like, this goes back to, you know, the academy system and, you know, that type of thing. You can't up to the caliber of play that we need to be at without having these developmental tier steps.
Correct. When we say grassroots, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
This is growing the game, actively growing the game. That's what we
need. We're just waiting for ticket sales to start. Because I'm telling you, there's already a big old group that's going to go to that first game for sure.
Yeah.
Take my money. Yeah. I don't want my money. Please take it.
It's money. It's really cool.
Do we know when the first match is?
To the Insta. Hold on. They did. They announced their schedule. Hold on a second.
It starts in June, I do believe.
Cool. June is good.
But I'll let you look that up.
Yeah, nice and warm.
I mean, they're still, so the first match is against the Atlanta Fire, and that's May 24th.
Okay,
And they're gonna play an exhibition game June 21st against the Georgia Tormenta, South Georgia Tormenta.
That's what I was. The Tormenta. Yeah, women. Shouts to Tormenta, great club, men and women's side. Would really like to get down to Statesboro for a match. Bit of a drive, but I would really like to go experience that. I think they got good things brewing there, winning as well.
And hey, one of our let's see here. Shannon, I wanted to circle back to what you said about the TV deal with the NWSL, because I really think it's important to note that the NWSL Plus app is free. You can view 69 matches, replays, highlights, all sorts of stuff. If you're outside of the U.S., you get all 190 matches, playoffs, and the cup.
How incredible is that? Like, it sucks that I coach TV deals. I understand how that works, that, you know, inside the U.S., regional rights, I get all that. But if you're outside this country, you can watch them all. Anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, as long as, you know, your country's not, you know, some restrictive Russia, North Korea type, and you have access to the internet free and clear, you can watch women's professional soccer in the United States at your leisure, live and replays, all of it, and it's, all it's of it, free, the whole damn season.
It's a free app on Apple TVs, Roku, or Fire TVs. And if you have an iPhone, it's not available on an iPhone, but you can watch it on your web browsers.
Yeah, just go to Safari. Yeah, you just or have Google to
create
Chrome,
a login at NWSL Plus. Is it NWSLPlus.com or something like that?
Yeah. Yes, and it's free. Just give your email, and that's it. And it's fucking awesome.
Speaking of, go ahead, Shannon.
Oh, I just want to throw in there the Freevee app. So the Ion games are on the Freevee app on my Apple TV. So that's how I was able to watch that. And this was the first year the NWSL had a televised draft, which was awesome. Oh, wow. And that was on Ion, and they've really gone in on the production for that. So if the games are on Ion, you can get those free too.
There's some matches on big CBS this year too. More exposure, over the air television for women's professional soccer. Like, tremendous.
You know what would be really cool though? It would be really cool if we had one of these newfangled sports bars that showed women's sports on TV.
Go
have
on.
You guys heard about these things? Like,
go on.
And if you am I just
go on. Out?
This is everybody say it.
So I didn't even know this was a thing until I went to Australia and met people that lived in the Pac Northwest and heard some people talking about this place called Rough and Tumble, out in Seattle, right? Which is a bar that shows nothing but women's sports on TV. Like nothing. Like, what kind of a mad world do we live in that there's all these women's sports on TV enough to fill 18 TV screens in a sports bar? Like, weird, right? Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't it be really cool if we had something like that here in Atlanta?
So cool.
Did y'all know that we maybe kind of did?
Is this something?
Go on.
Boy, this is a long walk, Jennifer. Will you get to the point? Tell the people.
Oh my gosh. So we do. We have kind of I don't really know how best to characterize this, but I'm gonna say it's like a floating women's sports bar. It's really dope. They started doing
it's on the water? Is this thing on Lake Lanier?
It's not on Lake Lanier. It just kind of moves around from house to house because it's not really a brick.
Not literally floating.
Not literally floating because it's not an actual brick and mortar as of yet, although I think that is a long-term goal. But the founders of the B-House ATL, during the pandemic just, wanted something else to do, and they felt like there was a real big gap in the scene here because, there's a lot of women that played sports, that like watching women's sports. And so this group of women started doing some like women's sports watch parties because there wasn't a women's sports bar here. So they started doing some stuff at 97 Astoria, and then looking ahead to the Women's World Cup, they thought there was a lot of possibilities to expand what they were doing. So this all comes from a couple of women, who play league soccer together, who wanted a safe space to put women's sports on TV. It's been a really, really good thing. It's growing slowly. But they're pulling down upwards of 200, 250 people at these watch parties, these organized watch parties, for larger women's sporting events like the World Cup, like the W Gold Cup, the Women's Final Four, and they're not wrong to be starting something like this. Cause if you look at the ratings for the Women's Final Four this year that have exceeded, that were literally, what did ESPN report? It was higher than
14.7 million, something along those lines. Very, very high.
It was higher than basically everything that they do, but like NFL football. The only, yes, right. I mean, it's
and it beat some of them out as well, as far as some games on Sunday.
Series, like, it beat the NBA finals. So, like, if people don't think that there's a demand to actually watch women's sports, they're so wrong. And I love what Bella and her friends are doing over here with the Bee House. And if you want to go check them out, this year they've got a new partnership with our friends at Wild Heaven West End. And they are also partnered up with Eventide down at the Beacon in Grant Park. And you can check them out at Bee House ATL. That's pretty much the only way that you can find out like where their events are going on right now. But they have weekly watch parties for the NWSL and the Women's Super League. So, hey, Angel, you're gonna have a spot to go watch your Hammers, right? Which is pretty awesome, because that was the other thing she said, like getting people at the Brew House to put Women's Super League on is really hard. There's just, you know, yeah, you'd love to go to a soccer bar, but, you know, they don't have the TV space for it because of all their other existing obligations. It's not their fault. They're not bad people for it.
Yeah. And, you know, I spoke to them about just showing NWSL matches at one point, and they were totally down with it. But you're competing with Premier League space or, you know, whatever bigger quote unquote game is happening that bring the punters in, as they say, you know, so.
Right.
So, but the other awesome thing is, because they're local, they're from here, they're always asking for feedback. Like, they want to know what you guys, you know, what the community wants to see, because they are very much committed to being a community space, right? Like, this is for everybody, where we don't have a thing that fills this need. And I think it's, you know, I'm pretty excited. I can't wait to go check out an event, maybe watch some of the Olympics down there, because I know they're going to put together some stuff for that. But, you know, just the fact that they're creating, you know, a safe space for women. And if you look, these bars are starting to pop up kind of all over the country. I just read about one in Denver. I knew about Rough and Tumble, and I know there's one out in Portland, but then apparently there's one that opened up in Minneapolis not so long ago.
Yeah, there's the sports bar in Portland, which is a great bar. Loved it there. It's all women's sports memorabilia all over the place inside of it. Like, it's exclusively women's sports.
Awesome.
And it's really a very special space.
Do they have Brandi Chastain sports bra?
I don't think they might. They might.
When you go in September, I want to know. That's your mission, Shannon. You have to report back in September.
I will find out in the bathroom. They did have like a whole display of like Brandi Chastain, like, you know, after the penalty kick in 99. So, or was it 96? I'm so wrong. Anyway, and then it's in Minnesota, it's called A Bar of Her Own, which is a play on A League of Her Own, obviously. So, you know, right. All good puns. So if you just name your women's sports bar after a good pun, you're in.
Good to know. So let's see here. So they've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. And then, you know, the last thing I've heard is, like, have y'all heard anything about 2027? Where are we at with 2027? Do we even have a place to play the World Cup in 27?
Not yet. We're supposed to have a report in May.
Do you think they'll give it to us, being as that we have the 2026? Do you think that's even a possibility?
I think it favors us, honestly, yeah. Because the infrastructure, like, true. Hey, if you're able to hold the men's, I bet you would be able to do the women's. I mean, but we're going to find out. We're going to find out really soon. Like, all the trips, the scouting reports, because it's not the same for them. Just because the men are here, like, can you handle a women's tournament? Needs are different. So do your due diligence. But we're going to have that report coming out in May. Right now, competition is a joint bid between USA and Mexico. Not Canada, just USA and Mexico for the women. And then three of them, Germany, Brazil, and the Netherlands, and a solo bid.
Belgium,
from
right?
No.
How would Brazil split with Germany?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Belgium. Brazil is doing their solo
bid. Okay.
Belgium, yeah, and the Netherlands. So if Europe wins out, which, you know, it's still going to be a great experience and cool, but it would be great to have it here. That'll be the first time a Women's World Cup has been hosted by three nations. And if Brazil wins, that's the first time it's ever gone to South America. So May 17th, that's the vote that'll be held by FIFA Congress in Bangkok, Thailand. So save that date and we'll know by then. It's ridiculous that we don't know already. Like, the shit should be decided. We're not that far out. But it's coming up.
Like you say, infrastructure would help spurn that along a little bit quicker.
Yeah, I think it's between us and Europe.
I think that makes the most sense. Angel said, the infrastructure alone, it has to make sense. We don't have enough time for there to be. That's a lot of decisions. If you don't already have the infrastructure in place, that's a lot of decisions that have to be made in less than 3 years. So it's
I think that kind of lets Brazil out. I think, you know, the other two options, you have plenty of stadiums, you have plenty of training facilities. It's a matter of which cities, right? And you're not going to have the logistical, you know, as much as I loved Australia, New Zealand as hosts, like the logistics of that and moving people around, like there, that's the thing, like people don't consider when you look at World Cup structure. And like, you know, I would honestly, almost as much as I'd love to have the World Cup here, it would be so much easier if you did it between Belgium, Germany, and the Netherlands, just for ease of travel. Like, everything is a 3-hour train ride, maybe a 4-hour train ride. You're not talking about a 4-hour cross-country flight to go from one stadium to another. And, you know, Australia, New Zealand had the same problem because they had matches out in Perth, right? And that is a long-ass flight back to where the people in Australia actually live outside of Perth, because there's a whole big lot of nothing. You know, in between Perth,
there is a very large amount of nothing. Yeah. Yes. A swath of nothing.
But deadly crocodiles.
Yes.
Speaking of deadly crocodiles. So, the community, I wanted to segue a little bit into, you know, all this other stuff coming down, you know, this great weekend that we had. Like, what do you, Shannon and Angel, think we can do, like, in the community to continue breaking these stereotypes? What do you think the community needs to, you know, get out and be more supportive of women's sports? Like, what else do we have to give them to get better quality professional sports teams going in this town, especially for soccer? Because we have them in other sports.
You have to support.
Yeah, don't sleep on the dream.
Are people actually supporting the dream since they moved? Because I know that they had a really hard time filling up State Farm, but like then they moved.
Oh, they were breaking attendance records. They were, yeah. And the Great Way Center Arena for the Dream, I got a 5-game pack last year, because that beats Ticketmaster fees. It's like, if you buy the 5-game pack, then you don't have to pay Ticketmaster.
Very smart.
You know, anyway, but like they sold out that Gateway Center Arena down by the airport, like more than half their games last year, I think. And when it got nice and packed in there, it was rocking. There were several thousand people in there, like all cheering on this team. And it was a great atmosphere. So I highly recommend, if you're interested in like women's sports generally, the Atlanta Dream's a great, great spot to check out here in the city.
And I hear the vibe is packing them in and rocking it out.
The vibes are immaculate.
I went to one of the vibe games, you know, reformed volleyball mom over here. Let me tell you what a fun experience that is, and what great quality play, because volleyball is not one of those sports that really translates well to TV. Like, basketball is made for TV. I am hard pressed to think of a sport that's better to watch on TV than basketball. Because you get the speed, you get the, you know, you get the level of the action, you kind of feel the vibes in the building and things like that.
And they're always, I mean, provided they're not terrible, they're always scoring, which actually is the reason why I don't particularly care for basketball that much. I'm like I'm the exception to the rule. I think that there's too much scoring, but it gets you into it. There was always action happening. Much like there is in soccer, because it never stops. I mean, with basketball, there are timeouts and things, but at least there's always something going on with basketball. So it's the most marketable in that way.
But with the volleyball, it's so hard to watch on TV because the action happens so fast. You know, it's back and forth. Everything is a point, and it's...
You have to be wide in the camera. The camera has to be wide to see that the whole time, and then you're missing
when you hone in, try to hone in on something, you could miss it. Yeah, it's a good point.
So to go see it live, and you know, in case you know, you weren't aware, volleyball is like the fastest growing women's youth sport in the country right now. We are actually home to the top rated national, nationally topped rated club volleyball program in the country up at A5, which now has like four different satellites out of it. My daughter played for them for 12U. And then, you know, yeah, she's not, you know, she wasn't going to college, whatever. But in any case, there's a lot of volleyball happening in this town. And I think it's really cool that, you know, the whole professional volleyball league that's been a big thing over in Europe, this is the first year that the US has had a pro volleyball league. So it's kind of cool that we don't have to export our talent because we have a lot of it that plays professionally in Europe. And now they can, you know, play here in the States. And, you know, for those of you who like the hockey thing, there's also, which obviously we're not, we can't even keep an NHL team here. So like, I highly doubt we'll ever get a women's pro hockey team, but there is now an NHL equivalent in North America. I think they've got four teams in Canada and four teams in the North, and primarily in the Northeast. But they're playing there. I actually saw them on TV at the bar where I go play trivia the other day. I was like, oh my God, wait, there's ponytails. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's the women's hockey team.
I think if you catch it at the right time and there's enough televisions, then yes, you will see a lot of women's sports. The volleyball is awesome. I know when I watch the Olympics, I always like to watch beach volleyball. So it's definitely not an absentee thing, I think, but only seeing it every 4 years, only seeing volleyball every 4 years is not enough. So the fact that it's, that now it's available mm-hmm, on a mm-hmm. local stage is actually really kind of dope. You know, there's a professional lacrosse team. It's not women's, by the way. I don't know if a lot of people even know that we have a professional lacrosse team for our state, but the more sports, women's sports that we have, the absolute better. It's, you're going to find an audience for it if you put enough behind it.
I think that's what this weekend has really, really demonstrated, you know, for me, that like, you know, we can put girls to the front and still be successful. Right. And when we put girls to the front, the community,
you lose nothing.
You've got all this to gain. And, you know, the voices are caring and compassionate and safe. Like, that's a big thing. We can all be, you know, together to celebrate being a fan of sports but, you know, not have to worry about getting our asses grabbed every 5 seconds.
And we're really fortunate here in Atlanta, bringing it back to soccer, that we have a lot of women that are leaders within our soccer community, within our supporters groups, all of that. So
we do. And I think we need to call that out because it's taken vision and foresight on the part of the supporter community here in Atlanta to put women's voices to the front. And, you know, Angel was mentioning something earlier about how the 3252 put up four women capos for one of the matches during Women's History Month in March. And maybe you can expand on what happened with that and talk about your own experience as a capo real quick.
Just really quick. It was great. I mean, I saw that post. They had posted it in Twitter and it was so awesome to see because, you know, they're an amazing supporter group and they have a great supporter section. And they put all those girls up in the front and they were rocking. And I was so excited about it. And then like the next day I started reading the comments from the dude bros. And it just was like, oh gosh, we aren't as progressive as I had hoped. But you know, then they had a lot of other folks that were like, you know, coming to their defense and saying they're having a good time. That's what's happening, you know? So, and it happens, you know, when you're supporting a men's team, you're going to have a lot of men people, you know, there with their own ideas of who should be at the front. And I think we're lucky here that we haven't bought into that all the way.
Well, we've always had female capos, right? Like for as long as I remember, like, you know, it was, you know, we've never not had a female on the stand.
Yeah. So I was the first one that came on when we were in Bobby Dodd. And since then we've, you know, I know Andrea from Resurgence is still capoing. We've had a faction girl capo. Like, we've had quite a few girl capos, but they're not as, in the men's game, they're not as common, but they're there.
I've mentioned this quite a few times, and I know I've mentioned it in different settings. I've never felt as a female, I have never felt as comfortable as a sporting event as I do as when I attend a soccer match. And I am going to expand that. Originally, I had said it in reference to an Atlanta United match, but I'm going to say that I felt exactly the same as I did this weekend. Obviously, more comfortable in many ways, being at this female-centric match as it was. I just, for some reason, there's something about it that feels just a little bit more accepting, maybe a little bit more inclusive. And don't get me wrong, this is coming from someone who played softball, okay? That is virtually, except on the recreational side of things, it's a women's only sport. There is no men's Olympic softball, okay? Mm-hmm. And to be fair, there wasn't women's Olympic softball for a little while there. But so you talk about a sport where you could feel entirely comfortable. It's that, except that you get knocked on for that all the time. But soccer has always felt, from the minute I started going to it, has always felt as comfortable a place as any. And I think that having the female representation in the places that we do, I have been watching you on that stand since that first game. And I always thought it was the most badass thing to see someone up, see a female up there with a megaphone. So cheers to you for always being up there and for everybody else that's always made an impact to our sport and to sports at all in this city.
It's a lot of women who make the engine of this train go, you know.
That's right.
Terminus Nation had an all female board last year. Resurgence Huge. Is full of women leading the way. You know, Footy's always had a lot of visibly active women involved in leadership, and then a lot of active women volunteers who aren't on the board that spend a lot of time and effort.
And there's a lot of females in the new Gulch as well, the new umbrella organization. So I think that we have been very good at pushing girls to the front and being supportive, and that's a good thing. And it, you know, I think when we do get our female team, it's going to be well supported.
Yeah, and we're not stopping.
Nope.
Anytime soon. We got nowhere to go but up with the female side of sports in this city.
Actually, we are stopping. But just this podcast, we're not stopping.
But on that note,
and we will be here to watch this grow. And when we get the team here, we're gonna equitable treatment, as Jennifer has been reminding us. That's the way this grows, and that's what we're gonna continue to do. Everybody's gonna be a part of that growth, including us. And I'm excited
for it.
It's important. It's an obligation, but it's also a joy and a passion and a privilege.
Absolutely.
To be here for this moment, to recognize it and to play a small part in it. It's I love it.
It's been a privilege to have y'all join us to share your thoughts and insights.
Thank you guys so much. This means the world. It means the world for everybody listening. It's incredible. I'm not going to say any more about it because I'll get emotional and start crying. Nobody wants any of that. So I'll end it with saying thank you. We really, really deeply appreciate it. We'll be back for more of this in the future. So we'll talk to you, everybody. Thanks
everybody for listening. This has been huge for all of us.
Thanks everybody.
Thanks.
Bye y'all.